All right. Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your girl L'Oreal.
And it's your girl Andrea.
And you are listening to
Lux Lifestyle.
And we are here to give you the coolest thing that you've ever heard in your life.
The tea. Look.
This episode is going to be super fun. We're going to talk about hot topics. We're going to definitely give you a luxuation that you kind of been waiting for. And some of the topics that we have this episode are very near and dear to all of our hearts.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Because we've all been in these situations. So, if you're ready to listen to Lux Lifestyle, you better get into it, honey.
Yes. Ooh, let's get into our thank God for emojis.
Thank God for emojis. Ooh. You go first. What you got going on, Andrea?
I'm chilling. Okay. I'm really chill. I would say the emoji I would do is the one with the shades on. Like, I'm Ray Charles to everything right now.
Can't see it. I don't want it. I'm done. I feel you, girl.
Like, I'm just chilling. I'm just trying to get everything together, trying to refocus my energy into, like, trying to help myself with the career I'm trying to do, trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. And I realized that although I went to school for 7 years altogether, I still don't know exactly what it is I want to do. But I know how to get I know what I want
to
do.
The steps to take.
But I don't know the step to take. Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of, but I'm working on it.
I feel you. I'm kind of in that same kind of boat right now, too. My temporary job ended.
Oh.
So, hey, it was temp. I know what it was. I saved up. I'm good.
Okay.
But I'm just at the point right now where I want to do something that I'm very, very passionate about.
Yeah.
The temp jobs, they were okay because they helped me maintain my lifestyle.
Right.
They helped me do what I needed to do. Bills were paid.
I mean,
that was the point.
That's the whole thing.
But I really want to do something that's not based on having to pay bills. I have such passion in my heart for communicating, talking with people, podcasting.
Yeah.
General, just having real conversation with people. And I wish that there was a way that my degree in communications could excel me into the path that I need. Emoji, what emoji would I say? I don't know. I'll say the world emoji because I feel like it's a whirlwind right now. I'm just going, I'm moving all around trying to figure out what to do next.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in the same process, like with the steps. I'm trying to figure out the right steps to take to get into the right point. I don't want to get into a job that I'm going to be at for 3 years and then not focusing on my goals.
Yeah.
So whatever I do, I need to make sure that it is in the same field of my interests.
Definitely.
And I want to make sure that I still keep this podcast up. I still keep up events, the media training. I want to make sure that I'm consistently doing what I want to do because I don't want to get stuck in a place.
So when you get stuck, you could be working at a job for 20 years if you don't have a game plan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my game plan is to get out after a year. Like, I'm trying to really, because I don't know. I just think that it's hard because our field is very competitive.
It is.
And I even looked on LinkedIn and just saw, like, how hard it is to try to figure out what makes you stand out to other employers. And I do not know. So if anybody's listening, you're good at LinkedIn, please hit us up.
Yes, like, please. We're looking. We need help. We are two passionate communication driven individuals with our degrees, and we have talent, and we're really looking. And each show is not only for us to express ourselves, but it's also our resume.
We're
showing you guys each episode that how we're getting better, what we're learning, how we're our experiences. So goodness, y'all, it's almost the end of the season. We only have one more episode, and I'm just thinking as I'm talking, like, goodness, thank God for emojis.
Right.
I really love this part of the show because it really gives us an opportunity to talk about us and how we feel.
Express it.
You guys, please comment on our page.
Yes.
Let us know your thank God for emojis. Let us know what you're going through. you get to hear us. We want to know your stories as well. You can always call in. If you listen to us on Anchor, you can leave us a voice message.
Yes.
And just tell us how you're feeling, what you want to hear, and baby girl, let's have fun.
Yes. Oh, man, so a hot topic. The most searing topic that everybody's been talking about for the past 2 weeks.
We're struggling with in this graceful period.
Yeah, I'm just like.
All right, so we're going to talk about T.I.
Clipper Tip Harris.
So we're going to kind of recap because we talked about this last episode. Mm-hmm. So last episode, we went into the hymen cost.
Mm.
That's what I call it, the hashtag hymen cost.
I like that right there.
And basically where T.I. went on a podcast and he told them that he went to the Well Woman's exam with his daughter.
Mm.
He started at 15 or 16 and he wanted to make sure that her hymen was in check to make sure that she was still a virgin. So we kind of went in, talked about our feelings and how easily a hymen can be broken,
right,
and how easily a hymen can stay in place no matter how you are sexually.
That's true. That's true.
After our conversation, they released the first episode of Red Table Talk, and I was able to get T.I.'s point across from what he actually meant. So in the episode, they went straight into it. Jada Pinkett was like, I want to know, right, what did you mean by you go to check her hymen?
Right.
He said, I never said that I was in the operating. He said, I never said I was in the room with her. He said he never said that her mother wasn't there. He never said that she wasn't okay. He said that they all have the conversation. He never thought that there was a problem because he thought as being a father, he wanted to be present. Most of the time, he and I will give him this. He says women are discriminated against, they're disrespected, and he wants to be a present father to make sure that that doesn't happen to his daughter.
Hmm.
And I can understand, honestly understand his point, especially with being a daughter of a single mother.
Yeah.
I didn't always have my father in my life or at all.
Yeah.
And with that, I can accept when a father wants to take that role, because as much as we love our moms, we need our dads too, because we need that balance.
Yeah.
The thing that I had an issue with was he felt like this comment. He said, the reason that I care so much about my daughter and keeping her sanctified and her sanctuary good is because if my daughter at 16 gets pregnant, that's something that's going to change our whole home. If my son gets another girl pregnant, it won't change our home as much. But why not?
It's the same dynamic, though. It's just that, of course, he doesn't care the child physically, but he's still a father to somebody else's child. He's still going to need to be there for that child. I would think that by Tip growing up without a father, too, he would understand that dynamic. Like, I still need my daddy.
I'm a
boy. I still need my daddy here.
Exactly.
So
you need to have the same energy that you have with your sons that you have with your daughter. Regardless, no matter what, T.I. really didn't think about the sensitivity of the subject at hand. First of all, it's awkward
enough
ever to go to the gynecologist in the first place.
Right.
It's super awkward. You got to sit there with your legs wide open and they touching you all on your boobs.
Asking you questions.
How it feel? Does this hurt? I don't know. You're weird. This is weird.
With your mom in the present.
And then okay, and then you don't even want your mom in there because it's awkward. So then you have your dad. It's just too much. That was a sensitive subject that he shouldn't have even brought to the table. That's something that shouldn't have even been talked about. And I love that he apologized to Deja. He went on the show. He said, I'm not apologizing to anyone else but my daughter. He said, I wasn't going to talk about it, but she gave me the okay to come on and stop the conversation.
Mm.
I think T.I. just needs to understand that, because he felt like that we were telling him that men aren't allowed to be present in their daughter's lives.
There's no problem with that. We want you to be
We want you to be present.
We need
but
you there.
Need you to be present. But the thing is, there are certain roles that mothers and fathers play.
Yeah.
And that particular thing is a mom thing.
Yeah.
And when boys have sex, that's a dad thing.
Exactly.
But
I couldn't have my dad. Like, I grew up in a single parent household, so I just couldn't have my dad in the room with me. When the doctor asked, are you currently having sex? Even if I was, I'd be like, no, lie. And
yeah. Lie. I mean, with your mom, anybody, that's just awkward. When you go to the gynecologist, that just needs to be you and them, and then that weird nurse that come in while y'all doing a little pap smear.
Yes. You're so right.
Yes. That's it. Like, it's awkward enough. So, T.I., for that recap, I'm glad. You that's what you like, dang, I should have shaved my legs, I should have polished my toes. Right, because everything is just there. Like, you and the guy in college, y'all are best friends at this point. Right. Because, well, I mean,
she you know
me, girl. You know me, girl. We know each other. So, T.I., just take this as a teachable moment.
Right.
This is something that you...
For what's the youngest girl name? Eris?
Eris.
For her, especially. Please don't do her like
Take this as a teachable moment for Eris. You know now what should be expected. Nobody is saying that they don't want you to be present in the life, because that's very important, and girls need their fathers.
Yes.
But in certain instances and situations, that may not be the case, or we need you in that one.
Right.
And the hymen cost was the one.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you did bring the conversation up, because we are all able to get a better understanding, see each other's views, and understand more. But baby, let it go.
Right.
Don't do Eris like that. And baby, let's move on.
Because apparently the state of New York passed a law to where the parents can't be in the room anymore with their kids. So I was like, and it sparked all from T.I. So maybe in a weird way, it's kind of like
It's a
curriculum. It's a part of the curriculum to help, raise awareness to girls' sexuality. Let's be open and free. So... all kudos to everybody that participated in Red Table Talk, but the Billy D. Williams thing.
Ooh, baby
Billy
girl.
D. Williams, Mr. I watched the movie a long time ago. He Mahogany.
That's what I was about to say. Mahogany. Me and my grandma used to watch Mahogany and Lady Sings the Blues.
That's my
all
movie.
The time.
That's
like
my movie.
I absolutely love that movie. He was on the Jeffersons one time.
Yes.
And I love Billy D. Williams.
Yeah.
He just that guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one. You know his voice. You know his look. He was Denzel for
before
our parents.
Denzel, yes. Yeah.
Our grandparents. He was Denzel for our grandparents.
And I understood why. That man was fun.
He was fine. He was fine. Billy D. Williams was the prom. So the reason we're talking about Billy D. Williams and his fine self is because recently he did an interview and he said that he was fluid.
Gender fluid.
So gender fluid specifically. So, with that being a hot topic right now in the LGBTQIA community, it's been a lot.
Yeah.
There are so many different names, words that you don't know if you can or can't use, and gender fluid happens to be one of them now. I've never heard it in the LGBTQIA community. Goodness, all those letters. Sorry,
that is. That's an acronym now.
It is. I've never heard of that before until I watched Real Housewives of Atlanta recently.
Really? Okay.
And on the show, Cynthia Bailey, her daughter Noelle, just recently went to college.
Uh-huh.
And she said that she was fluid, which meant that she was interested in girls and guys. I thought that was considered bisexual, but I'm guessing they're calling it fluid now. So with that recent surface of events with her saying fluid, Billy D. Williams has his article come out. I think everyone is kind of putting those things together, thinking that he's saying that he is bisexual. Mm. As I read the article a little deeper, he said that he refers to himself as he/she. Because he doesn't, non-binary gender roles?
Androgynous identity. Like, you don't identify as man or woman. Yes. You're just kind of like...
Yes. So, with that, I took a gender and inequality class my senior year in college, my last class, my last semester. And I kind of understand where he's coming from. So, when people are in that mindset, what they're thinking is... equality. Breaking the glass ceiling. Men and women are equal pay, equal rights. We're all the same.
Yeah.
Person, we're human.
Yeah.
I think people took the fluidity as what Cynthia Bailey meant as the bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember, this is a man that was prominent in like the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s.
For sure.
So he's not thinking the same mindset that we have. So when he says gender fluid, he's meaning, what's the word you said?
Androgynous.
He's thinking that, but we're taking it as something else.
Like you're bisexual.
Okay, yeah. We need to start making, we need to be aware of the things that we're saying. We need to research. We can't just, a lot of times when we see things on social media, we go straight to, oh, I already know what they're trying to say. Da, 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 da. You don't want to read it. Yeah. You see the big title, and then you already have your answer to comment.
Yeah.
But you don't take the time to research, to understand, to read the article, to go deeper.
Yep, that's true.
So,
and like with that, you know how they do the, okay, the Prince Michael Jackson thing. That's will always be the biggest topic. So how I looked at it, like growing up, I never really thought Prince is being gay either. I don't know why. I just saw him in heels and makeup and dress, and you know, clothes like that would, you know, kind of make you question, but I don't know, it's because he had women around him. He always dated beautiful women. So it's just like, okay, he likes women. He never came out as being gay. He just liked to dress the way he wanted to dress. He's an artist, you know?
I would say when I see people like that, because you take A1, mm-hmm. Bentley, for example, and then you think of rock stars.
Okay.
Most of the time, rock stars paint their nails black or paint their nails a certain color.
Do makeup.
They wear weird makeup. They do different things. But it's all in there, what you persona. Said, artistry.
Yep.
When you're a creative person, mm-hmm. you do creative things.
Yeah.
You think outside of the box. You don't do what, you don't follow the line.
Yeah.
You're the leader in the situation.
Basically.
So I would say in that instance, it shouldn't really matter how someone dresses, what they look like, or what you expect because of what we hear from the status quo.
Yeah.
Most of the time, that's what I was going to say. Most of the time when people, what was I listening to the other day? Horrible Decisions, the podcast.
Okay.
They were talking and the girl said, oh my God, I thought you were gay, to one of her guests. She was like, you kind of wear the pantsuits, you have the butch haircut, you don't really wear makeup and jewelry and things. She said, so I thought you were gay. The girl said, well, I've never been with a girl. I've never touched a girl. I've never had thoughts about a girl.
Yeah.
I love men. We have to stop thinking because of the way somebody dresses or what we characterize them as is who they are or how their sexuality is based. We don't need to base sexuality on the way that you dress.
Yeah.
And then that all goes to, as much as we hate to talk about the Amber Rose and the slut walk, it all goes together. My sexuality has nothing to do with the way that I dress.
True.
Any way that I want to dress is how I represent myself and who I want to be, how I'm feeling at that moment.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't determine if I want to have sex with you or I don't.
Yeah.
Or if I'm gay or if I'm straight or if I'm bi. You know, I just...
Well, I think that, like, not to contradict it, but, like, bring it the point to home with that, is that, like, Billy Dee, people were just saying, well, Billy Dee, you know, he's been the debonair man of all movies. Like, he's always the woman's choice of a man.
Yeah.
With Prince, he came to the game dressed like that, and people were just like, oh, his music good? We're going to just let it be what it is. And you just never thought the question, like, is he or isn't he? Now, Michael Jackson, that has always been up in the air, but I'm just like, I don't know. I love Mike. I love Prince. I don't know. But, like, when it comes to dressing-wise, I never looked at Michael as masculine. I never looked at Prince as feminine. Did that make any sense?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But to me, honestly, and I don't know if it's just Prince because I'm a person that I look at all parts of things.
Yeah.
I believe that I don't really... Okay. So, for example, I'll say Ellen.
Okay.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
My grandmother... is not really fond of the lesbian community.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like to watch Ellen on TV. She won't, okay, look, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see it, I don't want to do whatever. My thing is, what you do in your personal sexual life has nothing to do with who you are as an influencer, an artist,
true,
a celebrity. It doesn't matter who you are as that persona that you're showing is all that matters. I don't care what you do at home in your alone time.
Right.
That's you.
Right.
You can be as fluid, gender fluid, bisexual, lesbian as you want to be, but that has nothing to do with the part that you're playing in my life at the moment, which is the screen, the person on the screen. I don't care.
That's true.
So it shouldn't even matter. I don't understand the reason that these topics are so big because so what? It's like, what if he likes men? So what if he likes women? Who cares? Yeah. What is he about to put on his screen? What am I about to watch? Right? What is he? What am I about to hear? Where's right? the music?
And look, the thing is, the way the shade room, I thought he said he died. I said, no, not Billy Dee. Girl, and I said, oh, wait, what? You silly. I was just confused. I said,
girl, every time you see a picture of somebody older on the thing, yes. you always think they did. Like, they was playing, oh, Lord, R.I.P. They did James Witherspoon like that for years. Pops. And then Pops, R.I.P. Pops. We didn't talk about that last time. R.I.P. Pops. He was dang. He was in everything. Now that you think about it, he was in every single movie that you can. Everything. Boomerang. Boondocks. Got to
coordinate. I said, uh-huh.
He was a big dog in the community. So.
And speaking of the Boondocks, I know that's not on an itinerary, but they like this one Twitter user said, okay, how about this? How about the alley oop?
Yes.
And do Jennifer Lewis as his sister because she can keep him at the end. I said, she can.
She really can.
She can hold
and
it down.
She tweeted back and said that she was interested in it. I could honestly see those are the two that I can say have been in every movie you can think of.
Yes.
And they are funny in everything. Yes. And they have been around for generations.
Like, they made it work and transitioned.
Been there. She's been there with our grandparents.
Yep.
She's been there with our parents. Yep. She's been there with us. And now she's there with a newer generation. I think she can make it happen. Because Jennifer Lewis is hilarious.
Her and Tasha Smith together. Marcus?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'll tune in.
They need to play a movie together with them mother and daughter. And that would be the best movie in the world.
I can see that. And then on to the next hot topic is Bad Babby, ooh, a.k.a. the little girl from Dr. Phil.
Catch me outside. How about that?
And I'm just like, okay. So
girl, I'm going to let you talk about
it. In case, you know, y'all haven't caught on to it. So Bad Babby decided to go ahead and get box braids put in her hair. Now, the issue, you know, she had box braids. People are just like, oh, you know, I don't know if you know, but that's not made for your hair. And your hair might come out. She got mad because she was feeling like she was getting attacked. And so she decided to make a post basically saying that to all the black women that have a type, that feel a type of way, y'all bald-headed H-O-E-S's. You know, y'all know nothing about whatever. Y'all need to basically stay out of her business. Mm-hmm. And that's what she basically just said. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't tell y'all what to do with y'all hair when y'all straighten y'all's hair to look like white people. That's basically what she said, paraphrasing it. And so shade room comments went off. People going left and right. You this, you that, you trying to be black. On top of this, it's going to fall out your head, la-da-da-da. So my issue with the situation is, I'm not mad girl got box braids in the head. I'm like, yeah, that's what you want to do, go what you got to do. It's the way that she said the thing. I get that she's a kid, but it's like she got to educate herself because she's a public figure, too, at this point. So when she said, you know, about we want to straighten our hair to look like white women, I'm like, no, sweetheart, we sometimes have to assimilate. Like, more than likely, most jobs I've had that are corporate America type, I couldn't wear braids. I was in a news station. I couldn't have my hair in a puff. I had to wear it straight or have a wig because they didn't accept the natural look. So for me personally, I kind of got offended that she basically told black women that we're trying to look like white women. When at the end of the day, we all know the historical context behind our hair. That's how I feel. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Okay. So for me, I guess I'm going to have to play devil's advocate because I'm not going to say that I don't understand the conversation. I feel like the conversation that's being had. Okay, let's start from what you said about her being young and she's an influence. She needs to educate herself. Mm-hmm. One thing that we need to always remember is these people, these kids, these celebrities, these influencers nowadays, true, are not the same influencers, celebrities, and people that we had back in the day.
That's true.
These
That's true.
People only know about, they didn't, especially her.
Yeah.
In particular, she didn't expect to wake up to be a celebrity.
Yeah.
This little girl is literally living her life being a 15-year-old girl who wants to be who she is.
Yeah.
She stayed consistent to who she is. She hasn't changed up. She's kept the long nails, the ghetto talk, the long this, whatever.
Yeah.
She has been her. So, and to say that she should educate herself is correct.
Mm.
That she should educate herself. She should know what she's talking about before she talks. But she doesn't.
Yeah.
She's not. And she's a 15-year-old girl who wants to just make music and go on about her business.
That's true. That's true. Not messing up her prerogative with that.
So, as far as the braids, I had a best friend in elementary school. She was Venezuelan.
Mm-hmm.
She wore cornrows all the time.
Okay.
She had a hoop earrings, not trying to be black, not trying to be white, not trying to be anything. She just, that was what she liked.
Yeah.
She would wear the cornrows, and then later that night she would take them out so she would have curly hair. I never looked at her as being a cultural appropriator because I knew what she was doing. Mm-hmm. I knew what the outcome was going to be. I knew who she was and what she was trying to be.
Yeah.
With Bad Baby, I feel like she found those braids online. She thought they were cute. She put them on. The conversation about natural hair and black women not being able to be who they are and mm-hmm. to wear the straightened hair or do whatever is another conversation yeah. that I don't feel like needs to be had with Bad Baby.
Yeah, she's not.
In an aspect, she does need to be educated on the situation and things that have happened.
Yeah.
What we go through and situations that we have to deal with every day.
Yeah.
But as far as the hair, she's not the person that we need to be attacking.
Yeah.
We need to be attacking the HR of these
America
buildings. We need
stuff.
To be getting corporate America. Yeah. We need to get those people who are making us be the ones to change our hair, straighten it, to do everything. Yeah. Because they're the big dogs.
Yeah.
This little girl not going to make a difference in any outcome, any job, anything that we want in our life.
Yeah.
Go to the big people that mean something. Going at her doesn't make a big deal.
That's true.
I don't even understand why it's even a shade room type of thing or newsy type of thing, because she only responded about the straight hair because of what someone else said to her.
Mm.
I like I told you before when I used the example of me and my mom.
Uh-huh.
When I feel like talking, she may not feel like talking.
Yeah.
And when she feels like talking, I may not feel like talking.
Yeah.
So we have to be understanding of each other's response to not wanting to talk.
Yeah.
It goes the same in the hair.
Yeah.
You have to understand she just did what she wanted to do, and you said what you wanted to say, and you responded, so she's going to respond too. You
True.
Can't get mad at somebody for responding in a way that you came at them. She had her box braids. She posted her picture. She thought she was cute. She didn't post that to be an appropriator. She didn't post that to get for anybody to be mad at her or anything. So when somebody come at you and you thinking like, oh, what? I just thought I was cute. I didn't know that I was making somebody mad. So, you know, you got to think about it from everybody's aspect. I'm not telling you to change your opinion by
no means.
No,
I'm good. Yeah. Because like with that, it's just that, like the way she said, it's just like some people think, well, people that are not black or that don't really understand like the history of it.
Yeah.
They think that straight hair is inclusive to white people. I'm like, first off, there's other races that have straight hair.
Everybody.
Shoot, Asians for
Anybody
sure.
Anybody can have straight hair.
You know, so it's not inclusive. And she just like, she made it seem like black women couldn't, you know, grow their hair long and that. It just to me just seemed like it kind of gave me a, like she, I agree with how she felt in the beginning, but it, like when she kept talking more and more, I'm just like, okay, you could just chill and just
well,
cut off on that
part.
Well,
I didn't hear her say anything about the short hair or anything
yeah,
like
Yeah, she
that.
Was just like, y'all bald-headed, H-O-E's, I ain't gonna say, you know, curse word or anything. But she said that, and she was like, y'all, I don't tell y'all that y'all culture appropriate, y'all glue them sew-ins on y'all heads and stuff. It's just the way she said it after a while. It's kind of like, okay, like, we get how you feel the first time, but you still going on and on with the second post and the third post. And
I really,
like,
I understand that. It's like, because I understand both sides.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of torn. I'm super indecisive, and I think that's the Aquarius for real in me, because I don't know how to pick. Like,
yeah.
I hate it.
It's hard. It's like,
but like I know how I feel about stuff, but I'm always like,
it could be
I
this
can
way.
Understand. You know when you get mad at somebody, and y'all going back and forth, and even when it's over, you still mad, so you just saying stuff that probably don't even make sense or matter, but you still saying it, and you just like, girl, stupid, whatever the words that you saying that's cussing and going off, you just talking.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that she's right or wrong. As far as calling people bald head and not having hair, I mean, of course she's wrong for that. But I mean, in her eyes, you got to think she feels like people are wrong for attacking her for just trying to be who she is.
I can see that perspective.
You know?
Yeah.
You just, you got to look at stuff on each side of the thing to understand. Everybody has their own, it's like they always say, it's two sides to a story.
It's
so
true.
You just got to understand, and you got to be open-minded. And of course, in the heat of the moment, you don't care, you just want to fight,
right?
You just want to look, I'm sick of you, sus, and I'm ready to throw these hands. What's his name? Throw them paws on.
Oh, I know you're talking about
Scrappy.
Yes.
Scrappy. Then you just want to throw them paws.
I was gonna say Rolling Ray, too.
Girl, get out of here. He did something.
Yes, but I definitely agree with that. And then for the next topic, y'all, I would do the same thing to get a job.
I'm telling you.
Whatever I gotta do, I'm gonna get that job. So this woman got sentenced to 2 years in prison for lying on her resume for a government job, though. Now, granted, it's a government job and she lied, but she's making $185,000 a year. Now, the question is, did she get the job done, though? If she did the job correct, I don't see the problem. I feel like, you know what, if she got it done.
If she's doing what she was supposed to, regardless if she lied or not. Right? At this point, I'm going to just be real with y'all. We all got to lie to make sure that we're getting paid.
Exactly.
At the, what is it? 2019, about to be 2020.
Yeah.
You when you have a degree, it's almost like a
high school diploma now.
Girl, not even high school diploma, elementary, like a pre-K certificate. Yes. That you going to first grade. That's what it basically is. You can't get a job.
Yes.
One of my friends, she's a white friend too. Uh-huh. She's my old coworker. She told me she went to a staffing agency and the staffing person told her that it would be best if she wanted to get a job if she took off her education. If you take your education off your degree, I mean off of your resume, people will look at your resume more because they want to hire people who don't have degrees because they know that they don't have to pay you as much.
Oh, wow. So it's just making me think like I did all this for nothing.
So what's the point? What's the point of having an education if we can't negotiate the money that we feel like we should have?
Yeah.
If we've been in school, all through high school, all through elementary school, all through life, you have been told, go to college, get your education, do this, mm-hmm. do that. When you go there in those, how long are you in college? 4 years, and if you get your
grad,
6 to 7 years. Yeah. 4 to 7 years, you're in college.
Yeah.
All that time, you don't have time to intern, work, or do anything. All you're doing is going to class, making sure that you're getting what you need.
Exactly.
So when you get out in the field, that you're ready. But when you get out, what's the requirement?
10 years.
8 to 10 years experience. You got to have 20 years of SEO experience. You got to have social media haven't even been around.
Exactly.
8 years. So what are y'all doing?
I'm like, Twitter just got launched in 2010. And it's barely 10 years. It's barely. And I'm just like, I got to learn all this. I had all this requirements done within my 7 years of training in school, of getting good grades, making sure that I at least show up to class.
And then it's like you do all of that. You go to class, you do this, you get the good grades, you work on campus, you do all the hard work. And then when you get out, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
They don't want to, your transcripts don't matter. Your education clearly doesn't matter if they're telling you don't put it on there. So did I waste my time?
That makes me question. Because, like, I feel like, well, truth be told, I feel like, in the sense, when high school, kind of, like, when you're done with high school, I feel like there should be a bridge. Like, okay, like, senior year, maybe create a whole class or curriculum and say, hey, what do you guys want to do for real if you go to college?
Seriously.
And they'll be like, okay, I want to do this. Okay, well, this is the stuff you need to take before you even enter college the first semester. You could do that during that summer, that little bridge gap.
Yeah.
Like, 3 months of something within your chosen field, quote, unquote.
I feel like, at this point, the only people who actually need a degree are nurses,
mm-hmm.
doctors,
mm-hmm.
lawyers,
and judges
and teachers.
Yeah.
Anybody in that field or those areas, you're gonna need it, because you always need a teacher, you always need somebody in
True.
law, you always need medicine, you need these things.
True.
Anybody else that are in other fields, I feel like that they don't, maybe not college per se, mm-hmm. even if they have like little what are those classes,
not mini masters,
trade classes.
Yeah.
So if you want to do business,
yeah,
if you want to do social media management or campaigns or certain things like that,
something,
let people, and even in school there needs to be classes like that in high school to yeah. where you can see, okay, well, you know what, I might want to do social media, or I might want to be an business owner, I want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Because in 2019, 2020, that's the thing, people yeah. aren't working for other people anymore. Yep. They're working for themselves. So we need to start teaching each other, our children, the next generations, to build your own businesses,
yeah.
have your own money, acquire your own investments.
Yes.
I mean, let that come in. So, sis, with the $185,000
I commend
job,
you.
I commend you, sis, because we all working hard out here trying to get what we need so we can make some money.
My thing is the fact that her resume got to the point of the screen where you know how they could detect the keywords and stuff they use, quote unquote. The fact that she matched perfectly, I'm like, I want to do that. Oh, how did you do it? You know, go ahead, you know, hit
Somebody
my DMs,
needs to call
let me know,
her.
Ma'am,
please
I need
give
a resume
us a call
writer.
Over here at Lux Lifestyle, because we need some help.
I need a resume writer.
Because I'm not trying to, I don't want to go to prison for 2 years,
right.
but I do need a resume writer to help me get this together.
You know
honey.
What I'm saying? Because most resume writers charge me about $500. I'm like, I could do that myself for free.
At this point, if she gonna make $185,000, I don't mind paying $500.
Right? I'm like, hey, could you, like, you know, maybe do a discount
a little
for Christmas?
Sniff on
you know,
discount,
a little something.
Like,
And if you're on a lighter note, oh my Lord. So although this movie came out in the year 2001.
We dang, back 2001. At it, girl. And, well, I mean, it came out in 2001, but it's on BET every day.
Yeah, it seemed like it got released yesterday.
We are talking about the baby boy debate. All right. So on Twitter the other day, it was this big deal about if Jody actually cheated on Yvette.
Her name was, what was that girl named? It started P.
I don't remember her name.
I forgot. Portia. I think it was.
Maybe it was Portia. We're going to call her Portia.
We're
going to call her Thought.
Okay.
All right. So, the Thought, she worked at, her and Yvette were co-workers, mm-hmm. and she was interested in Jody, which mm-hmm. was Yvette's boyfriend. Y'all mm-hmm. know, y'all seen Baby Daddy, Baby Boy, Stop Playing.
Right.
All
right. Yeah, I know the scene.
So, the scene that everybody is kind of debating if he was cheating was when he actually went to, Thought's house.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the Thought's house. She, tried to have sex with him. I'm going to say it seemed like they may have had
a little itty bitty
encounter,
you know,
hedgehog encounter,
you know,
and he left out. The thing where everybody stopped was, did he, because he did not finish actually having intercourse with her, did he actually cheat? So Andrea, what do you think?
My thing is, yes, he did.
Okay,
regardless of whether he let her put her mouth on him, regardless, the fact that you got her number at some point in time in exchange before Yvette came outside the building, you got her number to know where she stays, to get dressed to leave Yvette's house to go to girl. So I think you cheated when you got the number. That's my definition of cheating. If you got a girlfriend and another girl hits you and like, I want to talk to you, I want to do whatever, and you, all right, you give me your number. To me, that's fair game right there at that point. So, therefore, that means that you're cheating. You're actively saying, I got a girl, but I see you too.
So, my thing, and if we bring it to now, that mm-hmm. was 2001. If we bring it to now, let's think. If the situation was in 2019 and you were with your coworker, they wouldn't have to really talk in person. It would be a social media thing.
Yes.
So, they would talk through social media.
Mm.
There'll be like the little hidden messages, like they'll post a meme that really has something to do with somebody else.
Yeah.
And to me, that right there, the meme part.
Yeah.
Because you're letting this person know, yes, I have a girlfriend, but I am open to seeing what you're about. We may or may not do nothing, but I see you see me.
Yeah.
So that see you see me mm-hmm. is cheating.
Basically.
Because you premeditated something. You knew that you were interested in going to see this girl. You knew that you were interested in having some encounter with her. Stop playing with me. I will kill you and her. Let me tell y'all something. L'Oreal. I tell people don't play with me,
man.
Because let me tell you, this is about to be the girl, L'Oreal. Y'all about to hear it. Because my nails clacking.
They are clacking, y'all.
Okay. Click, click, clack. I tell people all the time, I am a beautiful soul.
Mm-hmm.
I will love you. I am loyal. Right. I am honest. I will protect and love and care. Baby, but if you mess with any piece of me and you pull that puzzle piece, it's going to crumble all in your face because I'm crazy and I'll get you. And I tell people, leave me alone. Don't mess with me because I will end up like Clara Harris.
That's an Aquarius trait.
Is that the one that ran over her husband?
Yes, girl. Yeah. Y'all, okay, they're doing a little Twitter decade, tweet the decade stuff. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, that was like 2005. The fact that you brought that up, yes,
feel you. Stop like playing with me. I worked hard. I helped you go to school. I helped you do this. I helped you do that. And then you gonna come around and cheat on me?
Like,
it's going down.
That's like Lorena Bobbitt. I understand why she did it. Now, I'm not saying I would do that, but I understand what her point was, because at the end of the day, she helped him too. At the end of the day, if I'm gonna help a man, you better be helping me too.
Because
if
you're not, thing,
I'm leaving you.
Think about acrimony.
Okay.
She was very crazy.
I had
crazy.
A debate about work about that. Let's bring that up right now.
She was very, very crazy.
Yes.
But she loved him.
Mm-hmm.
They met, in high school?
No. It was like college, like freshman year of college.
You're right. They were in college. And she found him cheating on her with the girl.
They eventually married.
Exactly. She ended up hurting herself. She wasn't able to have children because of him. He apologized. He came over. He said, I love you. I'm sorry. I will never do this to you again. So I opened my heart up to you this first time. You hurt my feelings. I end up in the hospital. I get out. You beg me to get back with you. I open my heart back up to you again. I help you provide. I help you with your work. I made sure that you were taken care of. Your clothes, the lights. I mean, I was buying groceries. I was doing everything to make sure that we are good, and
I just couldn't do it. I left him after. I'm like, I'm taking care of you. I don't take care of pets that ain't mine. I'm not going to take care of you. I'm sorry.
And it's like, you think about it, people, the whole thing, and we talked about this too last time, the ride or die aspect.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be there. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to... Where is the line to where enough is enough?
That's true.
How am I supposed to know what's too much to give to a man or what's too little to give to a man?
Yeah.
They always try to make it seem like the woman has to work so hard to show the man that she cares. But what about the guy? What is his job?
Right. What does he do? On top of that, like, I think most guys, I'm just going to just put it out there. Most guys want a woman to take care of him more than he taking care of her.
I think because, and I say this all the time, you know, in life, most of the time, hey, and it's just the fact in the Black community that we are in a single parent household.
Yeah.
Most of the time when guys, little boys are in the house, they see their mom working. They see her doing the double shifts. They see her providing for the home. They see her cooking, cleaning, making sure everything's okay. When a guy gets older, some men take that and say, you know what? I'm not going to have my woman work this hard. I'm going to provide for her. I'm going to do this because I saw how hard my mama had to work.
And that's a rarity. That's a rarity.
That's what I was going to say. Because most of the time, you're going to catch the guy who said, oh, okay, well, that's what women do. So
That's what my mama did.
That's what you got to do.
And I'm like, no. But it freaks me out, though. They see their mama struggling. And you do the same thing to your woman. I'm not understanding that correlation. On top of that, you want to have a daughter. Why do you have a daughter when you can't even treat the woman right? You can't even be the man that she needs. You can't be the person that she can rely on when things fall down. Like, I just feel like a lot of guys, not all, but a lot of guys, have this tendency to want a woman to, like, cater to them, to, like, eat. I don't know how to explain what I sound like, very, not
sure. Just what you mean.
It's just basically, I just feel like a lot of guys want a caretaker more than a woman. And some women, because they're in love, it's like, I'm going to take care of him. Like, no, ma'am. If he's not even trying to put effort to take care of you, why would you have a child with him? Why? Just why? On top of that, I don't believe in, like, you know, dealing with a guy that I got to take care of him. I got to make sure to give him money for his phone, his car. No. You're supposed to be helping me out. It's a two-way street, sweetheart. Not a one-way. It's a two-way. And if you're not trying to meet me on that level, then what we need to be talking for? I just couldn't do it. Nah.
Yeah. And then it's like, you say that, and I totally agree. You do want a man to provide. You want them to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But every man isn't in that space.
Most of them are beta males and not alpha males.
Yeah. A lot of times guys, they aren't in the place that they feel like they should be, so they're having a hard time getting there.
Yeah.
And they're in a different space. And women, we want to help them get out of that space, not seeing how hard it is on us.
Yeah.
We try so hard to get them out of a dark space, but they can't get us out of our dark space because they're still trying to get out of theirs.
Yep.
And we get upset and we say, well, I did this, so who's going to be there for me when I do that? But you knew from the beginning that he wasn't in the mindset. He wasn't in the space. He didn't have the money. He wasn't this to get there. As far as the financial part, I always think to me, okay, L'Oreal, you're still in the process of getting yourself together.
Yeah.
You do know how to sustain, you know how to maintain, you know how to make things work, but you're still getting yourself together. So how can I expect another man to be in, he can't be getting himself together. He can't be going through things. He can't go through the same situations I'm going through. I work at a temporary job. So that means I don't always have the money to do things, or I can't do everything because it's temp.
Yeah.
If he's in the same position, how can I get upset with you for being in the same space I'm in?
That's true. It's all about effort. Like, who's putting in the effort? You know what I'm saying?
And that's what I'm getting to. The main thing is everybody has to do their part.
Yeah, yeah.
In making a relationship work.
Yeah.
Especially with the... the money is always going to be a big issue in relationships, especially when it seems like the woman provides more than the man. I feel like women, especially Black women, mothers, or just a single woman, we saw, just as God saw what their mothers went through, we saw what our mothers went through.
And then we know it more women. In depth, too.
So we know it a little bit more because moms and daughters, that goes back to the T.I. situation.
Yeah, they talk.
Moms and daughters talk a little bit more than
moms and sons. Yeah.
Daughters are saying, okay, I know how hard my mama works.
Right.
I know how hard my mama works for me to provide. I was just telling my friend the other day, I listened to the news and I was listening to The Breakfast Club and Centoya and Jay Long. Mm-hmm. And Jay Long said, Centoya said, yeah, my husband grew up in a hood. It was shootings, it was killings, it was this, it was that. And then I thought back to my life and I was like, well, dang, I live in Lamarck. Like, is that really what happened?
Right. That's what I was thinking. How long?
As hard as my mama struggled, as much as she did to provide for me, she made sure that I wasn't in those situations.
Yeah.
When I tell you that I never knew that Lamarck was a bad town per se, I didn't know. My mama didn't allow me to go in those situations to where I would have to deal with that.
That's true.
So with all of that being said, it's just women, we see and we understand and we're going to work hard no matter what.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure that it got to get done.
Right.
You got to do it. You got to figure it out, whatever. I don't, because guys didn't have men in their lives, they don't get that aspect.
Yeah.
Because the men that were supposed to be there didn't have a man that was supposed to be there.
That's
to
help true.
To tell him.
It's like a cycle. So,
and that goes back to a previous episode, generational curses. If a man, we had to, and I told you this, I was saying with the sociology girl.
Yes, like, I love sociology.
In order for somebody to do something, they have to know something and they have to be taught. A woman can't teach a man how to be a man. No matter how much we try, if you're in that, you can't, because we're not men. We don't know how to do that.
Exactly.
And most of the time when you look at a guy and you see where he's struggling and he have his things, because he didn't have his dad in his life.
True.
And
true.
As you know, as women, it's like, you don't want to be the mother role. You don't want to be the dad role, but in 2019, most guys didn't have their dad. Most guys don't really know how to maintain a household. Most guys don't know how to handle money. Most guys don't know how to do things. So as women, it is our job to kind of guide them, but we got to help each other.
True.
There has to be a midpoint. Okay. Yes, we should both be in a space where if one of us gets laid off, the other one can pick up and get it going. So when the other one comes back, we back at it again. Together.
Two incomes coming in.
Yes. So if one person, I feel like you can allow your mate to go through a phase where he's learning and trying to get himself together, trying to get the money, trying to do that. But that phase doesn't need to last
10 years.
10 years. That phase needs to be very quick and on the ball. You need to get it together. It's a race, baby. Yep. We on the track. You gotta go ahead.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, but we gotta hurry. Yes.
Okay. As we talk about this, it definitely brings us up into our lectuation.
Yeah.
Where we talk about the alpha male.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to kind of give them a description of what we're...
Okay. So mostly the alpha male is a male that's basically top dog. He's used to being dominant. He's the person that makes all the decisions. He's the key holder. Example of an alpha male, not literally, because, I mean, Martin Luther King was an alpha, technically. You know, alpha. Yeah. But, like, he's a leader. He's somebody that you rely on to protect you, to, love you, and to make sure that everything's straight. Now, you also have the beta males. Those are males that are submissive. They're not dominant. They're kind of... They let you take the step back. So, in that case, if you would put movie perspective, Jody was a beta male. Sorry. He's a beta male, for real.
He was.
And I want to say, we're going to use people that we talked about today, T.I. is the alpha male.
He is.
Now, with that being said, the alpha male in the situation of their marriage, I want to say that, based on the red table talk that I've seen so far, I just feel like there's a disconnect in their dynamic together as a partnership. I feel like T.I. is very headstrong, And Tiny, you know, took a step back, but she kind of wants to get her foot back in the door of like, hey, I'm Tiny. This is, I'm here. So she wants to be heard.
I think that was their issue after, like I said, when he went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
T.I., they were a family. He took care of their home. A lot of people think, even Andrea, before we talked about the show, Andrea was thinking that T.I., that Tiny was paying for everything. Well, on the Red Table Talk, Tiny opened and blatantly said that he was the one who was providing. She became a submissive because he told her, I got you. I got your family. I got your friends. I got your this. I got your child. We're together. We're good. Don't worry about anything. So within all of that, it was him. She kind of, I don't want to say lost her voice, but she kind of pushed her voice back a little bit. Because when somebody, when, let me think about L'Oreal. If a man came into my life and said that he was going to provide everything for me, I didn't have to worry about my mama. My mama will be okay. My grandma, my cousin, like everything is good. And I don't know how, that's a different type of vibe. You don't know how you're going to respond. When a man is giving you things, it's like you almost like, okay, I want to ask him, but I don't want to seem like...
Yeah.
It's like you don't know how to respond because you've never had that happen in your life.
Because to me, from my perspective, for me, it's just like, it's too good to be true. But it's like, okay, I'll let you do it, but I'm going to have a backup plan just in case it don't work out. I don't know why, naturally.
Of course. Now, my thing is, which a lot of women don't do, if a man is going to give me money and money, 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 I'm going to save.
Oh, yeah.
I'm putting in a bank account. We're going to have a separate one. Matter of fact, don't buy me purses. Don't buy me...
Give me the money the purse is worth.
Give me that money, and then I'll put it in my bank account. So when we break up or we go through this, even if we do or we don't,
right,
I'm always going to make sure if something happens to you,
yep,
and you lose all your money, hey, we good. We got money right here because I got it saved up.
Oh, remember that money you gave for that bag that I didn't buy? Oh, it's in here.
It's right here.
That's like Keisha K.O. and Gucci Mane when he went to prison.
Yeah.
And she flipped that back. I was like, okay, I respect that. I respect that completely.
But the thing with, back to Tiny and T.I., he, as far as being an alpha male and the submissive, when T.I. went to jail, that whole submissive thing had to change up because she couldn't be who she is anymore.
Yep.
She had to be the big dog. Yeah. She had to be the alpha woman in the situation because she had to take care of her children. She had to take care of the bills, take care of the house. T.I. couldn't do any of that because he was in prison. Right. There was nothing he could do.
And they froze his assets too. I remember that.
So she had to make money on top of not having money. You know, like I'm not going to be the same person that you left because I'm not. My mindset is different. I had to do different things. I had to take control. I had to be the big dog. I had to do things.
Yep.
So when he came back, it was too much for him. Well, normally when I just come, I tell Tiny what to do.
And Tiny like, nah, not today.
Well, this didn't work for me. This works another way. Let's try this. Let's do a little something else.
And that's where the disconnect, I feel like, comes from a little bit. Just a tad bit in their marriage from what I've seen on TV. Because when he went to jail the first time, I want to say, when Paper Trail came out, she accepted his award. And she's like, I got your back. And I'm talking about Tiny was like, she was killing. She was back on the escape train. She was writing songs again. She was getting back into her groove. And I low-key feel like she low-key found herself again because she seemed happier. But when he came back, it's like, okay, now I got to step back. I got to, like, let you be the big dog. And I got to just sit here. Like, nah, like, I kind of find my voice again. I kind of see what I can do and I can do well at. Let me drive the boat this time.
Yeah,
and I don't think he want to let that boat go right now.
And then I think that's where, in most relationships, communication.
Yeah.
When the communication is lacking or you're not having a good understanding, because you can communicate with somebody, but if y'all don't truly understand what each other is saying, it doesn't matter.
That's true.
I've always believed in the you don't go to bed angry.
Yeah.
And I believe that in all friendships, relationships, and everything. Because you don't know what's going to happen the next day or the next hour or the next second. You always make sure that you loving on each other. Y'all telling each other that we good.
Right.
You figure out the issue and you move on. You can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
But when you don't have that communication aspect in the relationship, that's where the downfall is. He didn't communicate effectively to her that he felt like she had a change.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't effectively communicate to him that, okay, look.
I had to change.
I have to change.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change. I am changed, and this is who I am.
Yeah.
And within that, she was still learning as she was going anyway. She was learning who she was, learning how to use her voice. She didn't know. I mean, you know, when it's something that you don't use all the time, you gotta like you gotta squeam and squirm through it because you don't really know. Like, okay, is this the right way?
Like, or should I say this? Should I do that?
Is this gonna help? But you just have to understand, alpha males,
right?
That women, we go through different changes in our lives, and as we go through different moments and experiences, we grow. Our mindsets change.
Yeah.
From the person that you started with in year one is not going to be the same person in year five.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's a I'm changing because of this and this and that. I'm changing because I'm growing, because I'm maturing, because I'm understanding, I'm getting wiser.
Yeah. It's different stages to womanhood.
Yeah.
Very different stages.
And men, they expect you to stay
docile. Fragile.
Most men expect you to stay who you were the first year.
It's like, no.
The timid, the quiet, you can kind of...
Right, nervous, gullible, and it's like, no, she's strong now. She ain't strong. You didn't tell her.
I know, you didn't taught me a lot in these 5 years of what we've been doing. You didn't taught me a lot in experiences that we've had and what I've had to do, what you had to do, the relationship stuff. I mean, it's just a lot, and you can't expect a woman... to just be the same.
Yeah. Like Beyonce and Jay-Z always say that because we literally watched their relationship grow from like Bonnie and Clyde type stuff. And like when she was younger,
when she first started.
Yeah, I can definitely tell that she was very like, he was an alpha and she was like, okay, I'm just going to sing, do my thing. You know, we're going to be together. We're going to do what he got to do. But after the scandals came out years later about, you know, him cheating, and she dropped Lemonade, I'm like, Beyonce ain't quiet no more. You know what it is.
You can see the growth in women. We all it's just who we are. We can't help it. It's just the what is the word?
I say it's rites of passage, really.
It is. we're learning every day. Guys get mad and say, oh, well, a female will get mad and she'll say something and then a little bit later she'll change her mind. It's because we had time to think.
Yeah.
It's because we thought, okay, well, you know what? Maybe this could have gone a different way. Maybe he meant this or maybe I meant this. When we're talking at the moment, anybody's just going to say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
But you should respect and appreciate and love the fact that we can come back and say, you know what?
I was wrong.
Yeah. Or you know what? Maybe we can handle it this way. Or how do you feel about this? A lot of times guys don't deal with their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to actually get into conversations because it's too much. Guys really, in most aspects, they just be like, okay, well, it's all right. We can argue and then I'll go to sleep, wake up, we good.
No.
I need to talk. We need to figure out what it was.
Before we go to bed.
Yes, we have to figure out what it was, talk about it, and then we can go to bed, and then that's that. And then we cool. That's it. We jolly, jolly in the next day. Guys don't want to have... It's the conversations, man. Y'all gotta learn.
All you gotta do is communicate.
Y'all gotta learn how to talk to us.
Yes.
And talking doesn't necessarily mean going into an argument.
Mm-mm.
Talking is just getting a better understanding of who each other are in the moment.
Yeah. Like, what makes you tick? Like, if I didn't know that made you mad, I wouldn't know because you didn't tell me. Ding dong. Like,
exactly. We go through relationships with assumptions and communication is the best way to leave all assumptions alone.
Exactly.
We won't go through as many arguments, as many heated discussions because we already understand.
Yeah.
I know what triggered you to get here. You know what triggers me to get to where I am.
Right.
And we're good.
Right. And that's basically like all our topics today is basically based on awareness, like being aware and making sure that you understand before you even speak on something, you understand the whole context of the situation from both sides. Because like I said, when you told me about the T.I. thing, I'm like, oh, he paid all the bills? Because I'm telling you, when I watched the Behind the Music a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it did go into like how T.I. first met Tiny, and he met her, and he saw her at a mall, and she gave him attention. She's like, oh, he cute, whatever. But he was like, he was starstruck by her because who she was. And now people on Twitter talking about, well, who, how's Tiny a legend? I'm like, y'all don't know Tiny was in Escape. Tiny wrote for TLC. Come on now. How do y'all, Tiny wrote for Destiny's Child too. Like, y'all just don't know. Like, she really is somebody to be a force to be reckoned with, but because they've seen her, you know, be docile, be quiet, and not really have a voice, it's like, oh, she just, I think they call her, she a doormat. Like, she just let him walk all over. And it's like, no, at some point in time, I'm pretty sure they're going to tell us their whole.
In some instances, mm-hmm. she would agree and say that she may have been a doormat.
Yeah. But especially she cheated the first time on TV.
But everybody. I mean, it's just women in general. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, the rites of passage, we go through things in our lives that teach us, okay, well, I was a doormat. I didn't really like that. Now, I still love him, and I'm going to tell him, I don't want to keep being your doormat, right? And then we're going to move on. And if he feels like that's not okay with him, then baby, let's break away. Right? And if he feels like that's okay and we're going to move forward, let's go. You know, from now on, I'm not a doormat. You're not going to talk to me. You're not going to walk all over me. We're not going to just do anything.
Right?
And that's just that. And if you can understand that, you want to be with somebody, because really, if you truly want to be with somebody, y'all want to make a connection, y'all want to work, y'all want to be a couple, you have to both understand each other, mm-hmm. and want to get a better understanding of each other on both sides. So you got to already have an understanding of who this person is, but you also have to learn that as you're together, they're going to grow and they're going to become somebody else.
Yeah.
As long as you're open to this person, you and these you and another person growing together,
y'all good.
That's it.
For real. For real. And that's just really, that's what it is, just awareness. And that brings us to the euphemism of the week, or the episode, I should say, is awareness. You know, based on what we've seen in social media, people talk before they actually understand something. And that's how a lot of things get misconstrued.
Yes.
So, you know, we got Google. We have smartphones nowadays. You don't have to go to a dictionary, go to the library. Just look it up. You don't understand something, watch it in depth. Understand it from both sides.
Ask Alexa. Yeah. Alexa, play the business. I need to know so I can understand.
Right? And so that just, you know, that brings us to our episode. I love this. We're almost done with the first season.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Right? We only have one more episode left.
Like, what? And
this episode is going to drop on New Year's Eve.
Okay, okay, okay.
We're going to have so much fun, you guys. Man, like, it's so crazy. This season has, like, come and gone. And we have really worked hard. I'm just excited for 2020.
Yes.
I'm excited to see what season 2 will bring.
Right.
I'm excited to just keep going through this journey with you, Andrea.
For sure. Cause
we've had a lot of fun. We've grown a lot. Our relationship has grown.
Definitely.
So, I mean, I feel like 2020 is gonna be really, really good.
I'm ready.
Episode
for it.
10 is gonna be the bomb, y'all.
Yes.
And shoot, I mean, episode 9, we here. We in there.
What
we
it
in
is
that? Y'all just listen to Lex Lifestyle. It's your girl L'Oreal.
And it's your girl Andrea.
And we love you.
See y'all next time.
Alrighty.